Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Gentlemen, oncers around the world, this is Jeff Roni and my wonderful wife,
Colleen Roni,
and our dog Lady, to bring you just a mini further discussions.
Yes.
There is a voicemail and an email. And right off the top, I just kind of want to talk generally about the ratings. I did a blog post and a poll. And the last time I checked, it was pretty even whether you were concerned about the low ratings or not. And so Manny actually asked Adam, what do you think? And he said, well, we don't get our ratings publicly. We get them from this private source. And he was saying something about watching of commercials, and it was kind of folding in a lot of different numbers. There was at least one post on my poll blog post that was saying the way that they gather information on viewership and that kind of thing, episodes, is antiquated. And we've always said that.
Oh, absolutely.
Because DVR kind of changes the whole framework of it.
Right.
And so if there is a place that's not public and the public is seeing something like 7.8 million viewers, which is 2 million or so down from last season.
Right.
That's kind of bad.
Well, yeah, it looks
because
bad.
It's making it look worse than possibly it is. There's been a number of times where people have tweeted to Jenny. I remember last season, they were freaked out. Jenny said, everybody be calm. They're going to fold in all the DVR views later. So I guess there's this initial live number.
Right.
And then there's DVR numbers. But then I think there's probably numbers more specific, like Adam is alluding
talking
to watching commercials in between. And so I think the commercial, the folks that are buying the ads can kind of track how many people are actually watching the ads. I wonder if they can track fast forwarding.
Yeah, probably.
And or watching it without fast forwarding.
So, I don't know.
Here's the thing. I know that we have at least one person, I believe his name is Chris, that's a listener, and he's involved in the a site TV by Numbers. And if I'm totally getting it wrong, I'm sorry. But if you have any information for us on the more specifics of it, please send me an email. Because
yeah,
we're just trying to kind of figure this thing out. And Manny was really good enough to ask Adam himself about what he thought. So it sounds like there's another source.
Right, but still, even with that, the numbers are down this season. We know that because we've actually, I know a number of people who are like, they're not watching like they used to.
Right.
They wait a few days, few weeks sometimes to get caught up. It's not as important. And part of it is they're just not thrilled with the direction the season has gone. You know, I mean, I know that, like I said, it's not for everybody, but that is the case in a number of folks that I know.
Yeah. So anyway, that's really the kind of discussion that I think I want to kind of push forward here is, you know, first of all, what do you think of the dropping ratings, number one? You know, are you concerned or not? Number two is, what do you think of how they collect this information as far as how many viewers each episode, each week? Where do you go? What's the most reliable source that you know of? So let's kind of really dig into this. And if you're listening from the cast or the crew or Disney or whatever, if there's a way that we can view that, we'd love to know. So let us know. Okay, so I definitely wanted to touch on that. Now we're going to play a voicemail, which is here.
Hey, guys, it's Brad calling in. Just want to start off this phone call with things I learned from the episode Lacey. First off, the life-size porcelain Henry looks awesome. Regina can make Tron light trails on the ground. Who knew that? Anton seems to never change his clothes. Granny's lasagna is overpraised. Mr. Clark is easily hustled. The dwarves do not like beans in their chili. Granny has a wicked squint of death. Mr. Gold's a Hagar man. Don Juan was nothing before he made a deal with Rumpelstiltskin. There was a raid of the back of Ruby's closet. A rebooted August steals less money. A couple of bourbons will knock Henry out. And think twice before accepting any packages from Tamara. Well, the theme of this week's episode seemed to be changing for someone else will always fail. And if a person is going to change who they are, they're going to have to want it themselves first. Gold had said that Belle makes him want to be the best version of himself, and she is constantly telling them that he is a good man. But when he tries to be that man, he's doing it strictly for Belle and not for himself. What I would like to see is for Gold to say that he wants to be the Rumpelstiltskin who was brave, who was so excited to fight in the Ogre's War, the man who truly loved his wife, and the man who would never leave his son fatherless. Now, Belle sees that man behind the beast, but Gold only sees the Dark One. I believe that he definitely needs Belle's help, not to change, but to believe he is that man that she sees and not this dark persona he has created. Once he believes this, I believe that the change will happen automatically. Now, Regina has the same issue with Henry. She's trying to be good but can't get back to that place of who she was before magic. She's not changing for herself, so it will never be genuine. Now, in my own personal life, my brother, who was an alcoholic, had met this girl, and they became good friends. One day he tells me that he read this book that she had given him and that he was no longer drinking. He had just quit cold turkey. And for years, he stayed away from the alcohol until one day when he wanted the relationship to be just more than friends. But sadly, she rejected him. And this caused him to go back to the drinking and eventually just quit his job. The whole situation was just messed up. Now, when I asked him why he went back to drinking after he had done so well for all those years, I'll never forget what he said. He told me, "I did it for her, not for me." Now, when Gold realized that Belle was no longer herself, as we saw, he lost all ambition to be a better man. Now, this show is about fantasy and fairy tales, but the themes are very real, and they resonate with all of us. That's all I got for this week, guys. Have a great day, and take care.
Wow, Brad.
Yeah.
That is...
That's some deep stuff.
A great voicemail, a slightly funny voicemail, but a very deep voicemail as well. So, first of all, I want to thank you for sharing something from real life to tie it in. That's one of the things I think we try to do is kind of give kind of a practical emotional connection between the show and the themes. And I think you really hit it on the head is it's a fantasy show, but really the themes really resonate. So again,
it's real life.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I did want to get a little funny and then we'll come back to that is, The whole no beans, obviously, they've been digging around in beans, the Team 7 and Anton and David for all this time. But I also was thinking about Blazing Saddles as well. Look, you know, we want chili. We don't want any beans. Just no beans, please.
Yeah.
A bunch of guys out there digging around. And, but yeah, the just the idea of why you're going to change is really there, and it's an interesting concept, you know. Throughout this thing, the show is a lot like Lost, and it gives people other opportunities to make a better choice. We can see that with Snow, we can see that with Regina, we can see that with Gold, and we can see that with all these people. You have the opportunity. I mean, even we talked about Belle. She had a choice. She could have left with Robin Hood, but she said, no, I made a promise. from my family, from my town, I'm going to stay.
Well, she saw the bigger picture.
Right. And so, you know, I think that's what Brad's alluding to is that sometimes it's not just the day, the moment, the choice, but it is the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this?
Right.
Why are you changing?
Right.
And changing for you is much better than changing for a person.
Well, that's the only way it's going to, like he said, the only way it's going to be genuine.
Right.
Is if you change for somebody else, you're doing it based upon their whims and their wishes and their desires for you. And it may or may not be the same, you know, desire you have for yourself. Whether it's good for you or not is irrelevant. I think it's that it's going to be a more permanent thing when you do it for yourself. I mean, another good example from my real life is that, you know, when I was growing up, my sister could ask my parents for money and they just hand her the, you know, ATM card, go get your money. And I had to work for my money. And I'm not complaining because I earned what I had. Everything I did for myself and I valued it more. And I, you know, was more careful with my things. My sister, on the other hand, had a lot of stuff handed to her. And she wasn't as careful and she didn't, you know, it didn't mean as much to her, I don't think, as the things that, you know, I earned with my own money. And so I think there's, you know, I'm not bashing my sister. I love her. She's pretty awesome, actually. But, you know, growing up, it was really tough for me to watch that. But I did it because I knew that it meant more because I put the hard work in. I made the effort and I did it for myself. If it had just been handed to me, it wouldn't have been as big of a deal. So,
yep.
I think it does have to happen. It does have to be something you have to desire for yourself. I think it means more when you do it and you do it for your own, you know, your own personal reasons, not anybody else's.
And we're going to send out some good thoughts and some prayers for your brother because we know we know some friends and family members and different folks that are struggling with alcoholism and it is tough. So
it is, but the nice thing is he at least recognizes how it has to come about. Any change has to come about. He has to do it for himself.
Yeah.
And the fact that he recognizes that actually is pretty hopeful. So
thanks again for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now let me see. Oh, I have too many tabs open looking for this,
email.
Here we go. And this is from Holly. And hey, Jeff and Colleen, it's great to have a new episode after a long hiatus. The opening for this episode really had me gasping and hoping that when Henry got turned into a statue and gold destroyed him, that it was just a dream. And it was. I mean, Colleen kind of noticed the weirdness in the way he was acting, but I really didn't. I said, man, he's really nice. But
yeah, it just struck me as being way too grandfatherly and way too whatever. And the fact that Henry chose a wand, a magic wand, Henry, who doesn't want anything to do with magic, it seemed very odd to me. But anyway, let me kind of throw this in here because I just thought of this. I don't know if anybody's really talked about this or not, but gold and his dreams.
Right.
I mean, you kind of think of him as not really, you know, he's very, you know, in control and very self, you know, whatever, but he's not. He's got these dreams that kind of like, you know, are deep seated and the horror of what he did is what woke him up. Because that's not what he really wants to do. Cause I think there is a part of him deep down that really does love Henry and really loves the fact that he is his grandson. And I think that, is what's keeping him from doing anything to Henry.
Okay, good point. Who else had these kind of nightmarish dreams?
Well, Regina has had
them. Right,
right. Tormented souls having these tormented dreams.
True. And, you know, that doesn't even count the burning room dream, but that was under a sleeping curse.
Right. So, that's a little different. That's a little different. I'm talking about just...
I know.
And what's interesting is the two most tortured souls now are having these horrible dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. All right. Getting back to the email. So glad that it was a dream. Regina finally knows that Henry is Gold's grandfather. Loved her reaction and her accusing him that he knew all along. Like Gold told her, fate has a sense of humor. Belle as Lacey is a rather interesting character. ... You can still see flashes of Belle. And that's true. And the one thing I do want to say here is that Lacey reminds me of the Belle on steroids, because she could be courageous.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of taking it a step further, like ruling a pool table, mm-hmm. that kind
hustling
of thing.
People.
Normally, mm-hmm. that's not what you would consider a bookworm.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But this is, you know, really kind of going to the other side. But it's just kind of interesting that. So, and just something I was thinking about. I just wonder what else is in that book that she was reading. Remember Belle's book with all the different things about the Yagwai?
Yeah.
I wonder where that is.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, wonder if it'll come up later.
Because we got Henry's book, we got that book, we've got the spell book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they're all in play. Gold's confrontation with Regina after what she did with Belle was tension-filled. David playing Gold's wingman at the rabbit hole was fun. Yeah. And, you know, two unlikely characters to really kind of help each other out.
Right.
It is
forces.
Really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And because normally they're just, because every time he comes to the door, David's like, get out. You need to leave. No, I don't even want you here. And he goes, just hear me out, you know.
And then he empathizes with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny because, I mean, here Rumpel is, you know, older and more powerful, and yet David's one who has all the wisdom.
Yeah, true. But, you know, he chose power
mm-hmm.
Over love,
mm-hmm.
and David chose, I think, love.
Love over power.
Love over power.
Yep.
Yep. That's it, everybody. We'll see. Okay.
Just kidding.
All right. Loved Gold's line at the end about how Don Juan made a deal with him to be the way he was. Well, that's true. I wonder if Don Juanito made a deal.
With Rumpel? I don't know.
Was nice to see Anton again. He seemed to be fitting in with the dwarves quite well. Granny's comment to David about him ordering chili without beans had me chuckling. Granny, if you only knew. The flashbacks of Fairy Tale Land with Belle and Rumpel were eye-opening. Yeah, and, you know, they do a good job of showing you just enough.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Little snippets.
And then if you start to kind of put the whole thing together, just like Holly's saying, is mm-hmm. you really get a better view of, it's kind of like zooming in to, oh my gosh, here I'm out on the end of the ledge now. What's that painting that you really love next to the lake? What's that?
Yeah, it's Georges Seurat's Sunday Afternoon in the Isle of Grand Jean. Yeah.
So if someone stood really close and only saw certain parts of that,
mm-hmm.
they would say, that's really nice. I don't know what it is.
Right. It's a bunch of colored dots.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just a bunch of multicolored dots.
Right.
As you step back, you get, you know, if you stand a foot away from it, it's just mm-hmm. a bunch of dots, colored dots. You don't see
right.
the whole picture. You don't even see a shape of anything. You take another step back and you start to see a little bit of a shape, but not quite completely. You see a little bit of an outline. And as you get further and further back, you see the whole picture.
Yep. It's like Citizen Kane. I always consider that film to be like pieces of a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even when you're putting together a puzzle, you go, I can see something. I really can't see it all, though.
Right.
There's parts missing and I don't know. So, anyway. But
and the more pieces you get that are connected, even if you have pieces that are missing, you can kind of see where they,
right.
you know, where they lead. So you don't have to see the entire, every single individual piece, but it helps. The more pieces you see, the bigger the picture, more clear it becomes.
And as much as I've, you know, fought against, I did not want to do, I haven't changed my mind, but I'm just saying, I did not want to do a timeline
mm-hmm.
Is because I knew that was going to be a lot of work is I think that can be, you know, a valuable tool. But I mean, we've seen different parts of the Rumbel
mm-hmm.
relationship
mm-hmm.
as it's grown.
Right.
But now we're seeing more and more and more. But I mean, as you can kind of check the timeline
mm-hmm.
I imagine it's out there. You can see how, in what spot each of these scenes are. So,
right.
I can go back to the email. The scene in the forest with Nottingham was interesting. You could already tell that Rumpel was starting to have feelings for Belle when he magicked Nottingham's tongue out, that he was losing his patience with the dear old sheriff. And yeah, it was, I heard it said somewhere that it wasn't, he did it because he didn't want him to continue to talk.
Right.
Yeah. So it was.
He wanted him to shut his mouth, right. And he wasn't doing it because he was warning him verbally, saying, look, you better watch your mouth. Mm-hmm. And Sheriff kept pushing the envelope, thinking that's what, you know, Rumpel wanted, when in truth, Rumpel was like really offended because he cared about Belle. And here's another interesting little tidbit. I've always said this, and I still stand by this. If women actually were really honest and thought about this, there's really two things that make a man extremely ridiculously sexy. One is a man who loves his children to the point of distraction, where his children are the most important thing to him. Oh my gosh, that's huge. Another one is where a man loves his woman so much that he would do anything to protect her, anything, no matter what it is. There's something very just, about a man who'll do that. What's interesting to me is, just now thinking about this, when Rumpel pulled out Sheriff's tongue and held it, he wasn't, I mean, it was pretty violent when you think about it. I mean, right. Taking out somebody's tongue is pretty violent. Granted, he didn't, you know, cut it out. He just took it out through the use of magic, but he took it out. And Belle, watching this whole entire exchange, saw an act of violence, softened by magic, but still, nonetheless, an act of violence. She saw this and realized he was doing it for her. Mm-hmm. So even though Belle loves the good man that he is and sees the good man that he is, she actually started to fall for him when he took the tongue of the sheriff out, which was the act of violence, which is why Lacey liked when he did the same in real world. So while Belle is this, you know, noble, honorable, you know, I'm, you know, I really want a good man. I know there's a good man in you. If she really thinks about it, she actually started falling for him when he did something violent.
I get what he's doing because he loves Belle and he knows that Belle is in this body.
Right.
That he's interacting with. The sad thing is he doesn't realize that it's a false memory. It's a false life. And that he's reacting to that false life and trying to keep her around.
Right.
And then having to change to keep her around instead of really focusing on, we need to have you remember who you really are.
Right.
That would be what I would be focusing on. If I was the Dark One and so powerful, I would.
But remember, he was so in love with her.
I know.
And he is distracted by that because he's not interested in changing for the better. For himself, he's doing it for her, so she will love him because he doesn't think she can love him any other way.
But that'll be his destruction.
It will be.
So, yeah. I'll continue to read the email here. After his first comment, I was thinking to myself, if he keeps talking, he's going to get himself hurt from just the look on Rumpel's face. Rumpel showing Belle his library in the dark castle close to the end of the episode was a nice touch. And yeah, it tied in the fairy tale land with
with the Disney movie too, by the way.
Yep. I was rather surprised that the package that Greg told Tamara about turned out to be a hook tied up. I, like you and others that I have talked with about this episode, thought it was going to be some sort of bomb or something that not quite stable, but very powerful. It could take out the whole town. I wonder how cooperative Hook's going to be after he gets himself unbound, or he's going to start playing both sides to his advantage. I'll wrap it up here. Looking forward to hearing more of your thoughts and all the other Oncers. Big love to everyone. Holly from Wisconsin. Thank you very much, Holly.
Thanks, Holly. And I agree with her. I mean, I was kind of wait, that's your big weapon? Mm-hmm. Really? That's your big surprise, your big package? You know, and granted, Hook is a pretty formidable person. However, really? I'm very curious where they're going to go with this because, I mean, what? He tried to kill Rumple once. Rumple's back in town. He's fully restored and has all his power. Hook's not exactly going to have an easy time of trying to kill him.
Right.
So, seriously, and he's already taken Belle from him. So what else is he going to do?
Yep. Well, I was wrong in my mention of the package, so we'll just leave it at I was wrong. And but yeah, here we go. We're coming to the end, and tomorrow, actually no, today, later on today, tonight. We're recording this on Sunday. The Evil Queen, and it will be all Evil Queen all the time for tonight. So we're coming to the end of season two. And so let's hope it brings out all the different parts. And, you know, again, thanks to Meg for his wonderful mm-hmm. voicemail. Mm-hmm. And from the way it sounds like, we're going to be seeing more of Team 7
mm-hmm.
In the last few episodes of this season, too.
That's
so
great.
So anyway, be sure to tweet Meg and all the other boys of Team 7 and Anton. Mm-hmm. And Josh Alice, of course.
Yeah.
Let them all know how much you appreciate them because we haven't seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
For most of the season.
Yeah.
But I know that Evil Regals are going to be all sitting up front of the TV tomorrow tonight and cheering on Regina. So
yep.
Anyway, thanks so much for downloading, listening, telling your friends. I want to thank you also for tweeting out that you're listening to our podcast so that the folks on Twitter and the folks, when you use a hashtag, mm-hmm. They know that you're listening. So we really appreciate that, and it helps us out. And thank you so much for the nice iTunes reviews. And it really encourages us. And thanks so much for that. I want to send big love out to everybody. And I hope things are going well for you. If you're sick, hopefully you're going to get to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And so take care of yourself, and we'll be bringing you first thoughts later on tonight after the Evil Queen.
Mm-hmm.
So we will talk to you soon, guys.
All right, bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time.
Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, and if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out mediavoiceovers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.